Hare Krishna. It is my pleasure and fortune to be here with all of you this evening. This is home. During the kirtan, I was remembering my first meeting with Lalita Sakhi Devi, Mrs. Piramal. It is said that things that get off to a good start have a good future. Things that are begun in an auspicious condition become very auspicious. Some years back, the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, before there was a hospital, the doctors were working just independently in so many small places. Yes, Vishwarupa Prabhu, Dwarkadish Prabhu, some of the doctors are here. And they were thinking that by God's grace, they were given the skills as doctors. And what is given by God should be utilized in a spirit of reciprocation. This is the spirit of a spiritual civilization. Any real civilization is based on the principles of respect and gratitude. And on the basis of that respect and gratitude, there is naturally morality, charity, compassion. Because Krishna explains in Gita that he is sarva karana karana. He is the cause of all causes. Sarvasya cha ham hridi shanivishto matasmitir jnanamabohanam cha vedaishta sarvayar aham eva vedyo vedantikrit veda vedeva cha. He is the source of everything that exists. Everything is coming from Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Because Krishna is the source of everything, included within, he is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in man, the chastity in woman. All qualities originate in the absolute truth. The Brahma Sutra describes the absolute truth as janmadyashayataha, him from whom everything comes. Srila Prabhupada explained that so many people are working hard, and some are getting certain things and some are not. It's not just a matter of working hard. Similarly, two people go to the same doctor with the same disease. One lives and one dies. Simply our effort is not enough. Of course, our karma is taken into consideration, what we have done in our previous lives. But ultimately, we are all depending on the grace of God. So gratitude means that whatever God has given us, we want to reciprocate, to utilize in a way that gives pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So these doctors, they just got out of college, yes, and they were not certainly wealthy, they were not very established, but they had a skill, and they wanted to use it for Krishna. So they were thinking that the Brijbasis, the residents of Vrindavan, are dear to Krishna. So let us have a cataract eye camp. And these people who are going blind, let them see. And also they use their vision for very good purposes. They don't use their vision to go to all cinema theaters and all of that. They use their cinemas to go to see the deities and to see the holy dham. So it's a very, very high and virtuous purpose that they use their sight. And they're very poor, extremely poor people. So it was a major operation for these few people. And they chose to have this cataract eye camp in Barsana. Barsana is the place of Srimati Radharani. And in Barsana, the residents, they don't consider Radharani to be the supreme goddess of fortune from whom all Lakshmis are emanating, which is according to the Shastras. They consider her the neighborhood girl that everyone loves. Haribo, that is Vrindavan Ras. We have some very nice friends in Barsana who we have known for about 30 years now. And they were very excited to help us make nice arrangements. So it was very simple. We set up tents, right? All these Brijabasis, they were... How long did they have to lay there after their operations? A week? So we had to feed them. How many hundreds of operations were there?
185.
Yeah. About 220. This was the second, I believe. 220 people, and they were all laying there. We had to make tents and beds, and we had to cook prasad, and we had 24-hour kirtan. And some of these people, they're laying in beds with these bandages in their eyeballs, and when they heard the kirtan, they just started getting up and dancing. you cannot hold these Brijavasis back for long. So I believe through Krishna Chandra Prabhu's efforts, Srinathji Prabhu's efforts, there was some contributions made, and I believe also Mr. Ajay Piramal donated for this noble cause. And his mother, Lalita Sakhi Devi, Mrs. Piramal, happened to be in Vrindavan in her home, and she was told that this eye camp is going on in Barsana. So I was just leaving Barsana to go to Vrindavan. It's very auspicious, just as I was leaving Barsana, this music is coming. And just as I was coming down the stairs of the big temple, Mrs. Piramal just drove up and came out of car, and we met right in front of Shriji Mandir in the Holy Land of Barsana. That was our first meeting. And we were relating to each other how auspicious this is. This is not an accident to be in this holy place. And she invited me to her home in Vrindavan for prasad. Yes? And we went to her home and she asked us to have kirtans like today. And ever since that, she has adopted me as her son, and I am very happy. Very well.
Huh?
You can think as you like, but you are my mother. That is, everyone knows. And since that time, so many times we have come here. In fact, because today is my birthday, my father called me today. And he was specially asking about your family. Because when my father and mother came here 2 years back, the first program we had was on the terrace of the house. And my father was saying, he just happened to mention, he said, please give my love to the Mufflethal family and Desai family. And also that family, we had dinner at their house and they had all those horses on the walls. No, there's not horses there. Huh? They went away, the horses. And he was remembering that we ate prasad on that big glass table, and they were so nice, and we were talking to them. And on the terrace, we had program of kirtan, and I explained the history of all the miseries I caused them throughout my life. And they were very happy to hear these things. Really? Because usually children never admit that they cause their parents miseries. How I left home, came to India at the age of 19, no money, didn't even tell him I was leaving. Well, I told him I was going to Europe for the summer. And summer passed. And fall passed. Finally, they got an aerogram letter from Iran. Arivo, I'm on my way to India in search of God. But I can say that they never really understood Krishna consciousness till they came to India and met all of you. When they met these wonderful families, their hearts melted. And now they're not only blissful, but every time I speak to him, he said, I am so proud of you. Whoever I meet, I tell them how proud I am of you. And he always says, Hare Krishna. So a very special part of that experience that they had that changed their lives was coming to this auspicious home, meeting the family here and all the devotees. So I thank you for that. Srila Prabhupada defines bhakti as the activity of the heart in which it expresses its love for God through service. Love that is not expressed is not real. Just like a mother loves the child. But the mother's very, because the mother loves the child, the mother is very busy. She's just not sitting in Padmasan, staring at the, between her eyebrows, meditating. Baby's crying, and she's, universal love. As far as the child is concerned, what is the use of all this universal love? I'm hungry, I'm dying, and you have all this universal love. So real love is expressed through service. The mother is willing to do anything, everything to serve the child. Willing to stay up all night long. Willing to clean dirty materials. Willing to sacrifice her life. That is service. Actually, the most fundamental need of every living being is to love someone. There can be no fulfillment of the heart without that. We can have nice professional video cameras and stereo systems and best of cars and big bank balance and so many other things. But none of those possessions can fulfill the needs of the heart. Now we can have big position. We can conquer our competitors. We can attain great fame. But the heart remains empty. Because the basic need of every living entity is to love someone. Therefore, relationships are the most sacred gifts we have in life. And the reality of love comes through service. Those who are really, truly in a spirit of service and sacrifice for the object of their love actually find fulfillment in that, not an exploitation. There's fulfillment of the mind through exploitation and acquisition. But only giving of the heart for the welfare, for the pleasure, for the service of another can actually give satisfaction to the heart. But in this world, everything is temporary. And everyone is limited. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they explain so nicely. Savai pung chang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoyita ki aprati hata yajatma suprasitati. That the supreme occupation for all humanity is unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Krishna is one of the great holy names of God. There are many names of God. Ram, Narasimha, Jehovah, Allah, many names of that one supreme source of everything, the ultimate object of everyone's affection. Krishna's special name, it means all attractive. Attraction is like a magnet. And the qualities of the Absolute Truth can attract the full capacity of our consciousness. When we are attracted to someone, naturally love awakens. Krishna is that supreme attractive force. And because every living being is a part and parcel of Krishna, mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karashati. Therefore, every living being is qualitatively one with God, but infinitesimal part of God. Just like the sun is complete and whole, and emanating from the sun is innumerable rays of sun, which are of the same quality as the sun, but just a tiny part. The sun is the source of the ray. The ray is never the source of the sun. So that is the relationship between every living entity and God. And it is that living entity which gives life. Wherever there is life, there is part of God. This body is just a machine. Very, very intricate machine created by the Supreme. When the living entity, the Jivatma, is within this body, there is life, there is consciousness, there is the capacity to have mental, intellectual, and sensual experiences. There's also the capacity to love. And when that Jivatma or that living entity leaves the body is no more useful. It is buried or burned or whatever. So every living entity, because it is part of God, it has attraction. And the material nature, which is also a reflection of the Supreme, has the power to attract. One time, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he was walking along the ocean in Venice Beach of California. Very, very beautiful beach. And the sun was setting. And as it was setting, the golden effulgence of the sun was glittering on the waters as if a masterpiece painted in the sky. And devotees exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada, "Is this not the most beautiful sunset that you have ever seen?" And Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, "If you think that the art is beautiful, you should see the artist." this is just an infinitesimal glimpse of the supreme attraction of Krishna. So the perfection of love is to repose that need, that propensity, in its original source, or Krishna. Then that love experiences an eternal, unlimited ecstasy, which is the longing of every soul. And Bhagavatam describes that when you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is nourished. The leaves, the branches, the twigs. Similarly, when our heart becomes purified through spiritual science of learning how to connect our consciousness with the all-attractive Krishna, then love awakens. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunai. Love of Krishna is within everyone's heart. It simply has to be awakened through purification. That is the purpose of all religion. Not to create sectarian cults battling against each other. Not to create various social forms of arrogance that we're better than you. Real religion is the scientific process by which we purify our hearts through faith, through worship, through prayer, through charity, through service. Bhakti means devotional service. When that goal is achieved, when we love Krishna, then automatically, spontaneously, there is love for every living being. Real love. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, ecstatic love. Because we see everyone in relationship to the all-attractive. So Gita explains that this is the peace formula to awaken our dormant love of God. As long as this is not fulfilled, then all of our efforts and discussions for peace have their limitations, and ultimately they fail. Our Guru Maharaj explained, after the First World War, they made the League of Nations. After the Second World War, they made the United Nations. And since they made the United Nations, how many wars have there been? How many wars are going on now? As long as we forget that everything is the property of God and we are all His servants, we are all children, we are all brothers and sisters, then there is no question of peace. But this is not just a theoretical conception, but to the degree we realize this, there's real happiness in life. And then we can give real happiness to others. So according to the divine social systems that are explained by the great acharyas and in the holy scriptures, in every stage of life, we require blessings and direction to make that particular responsibility that we accept, a source of liberation and purification rather than bondage and misery. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Grihastha Ashram, when a family is actually centered around devotion to God, service to God, love for God, then the home becomes Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Bhagavatam explains, Srila Prabhupada tells us this also, that when the husband and the wife are getting along nicely together and cooperating in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Lakshmi Devi personally resides within that home and does not leave. Now, Lakshmi Devi is the goddess of fortune. But what is fortune? Many people do this Lakshmi Puja because they want financial type of fortune. But that type of fortune, Lakshmi is chanchala. Chanchala means she always moves around. She's unpredictable. That's not real fortune. Real fortune is bhakti. Real fortune is love, devotion, which brings real peace, real fulfillment and happiness in life. How to attract Lakshmi to come? Srila Prabhupada explained his own parents. He said that his mother and father, they had so much devotion. Every morning they would worship Krishna and Radharani, Radha Govinda. And as a little tiny child, he would see them every day. So naturally, children imitate their parents. They imbibe the things of the parents. I remember in America, my little friends that I went to school with, if the father smoked cigars, little four-year-old children, they would put the cigar in their mouth and look in the mirror and think, I am like my father. Arrivo, just awaiting. And they used to say, when will I grow up so I can smoke it like my father? Arrivo. You know what a cigar is? It's a big cigarette. Big. Children emulate the quality of parents. If they see, and children also see through hypocrisy. So Prabhupada explained, because he saw his parents in such devotion, always serving devotees, inviting sadhus to their home, asking for blessings, they would feed 5 to 7 sadhus every day. And the only thing that his father, Gaur Mohan Day, would ask in return was, please bless my son that he will be a devotee of Srimati Radharani. He was asking for the greatest benediction, the greatest fortune. And, of course, Prabhupada was the greatest devotee of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. This is the beauty of Indian civilization. Sometimes people of India neglect to appreciate what they have. But the beauty of Indian civilization is there's such a deep, profound heritage and culture based on spirituality. And even though it's rapidly being lost, someone told me statistic, what the Mughals could not do in 700 years, what the British could not do in 200 years, as far as destroying the Indian culture, American television is doing in the last 10 years. It's the values of family, the values of morality, the values of spirituality in the heart and the center of our lives. Meaningful, fulfilling lives with spiritual depth. But when we foreigners come here and we see pious Indian families that have this spiritual culture, there's nothing more impressive. Some families are living in beautiful palaces, some families are living in simple straw huts. But where we find that culture, that spiritual sensitivity, that morality, that unity, we can actually experience real wealth. A very important part of the spiritual heritage of this great culture is to receive blessings. When Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, came to the West, he was initiating two brothers, Ramananda and Gargamuni, giving them diksha. So they invited their mother for the ceremony. And she was sitting there, and she didn't know what was happening. They were performing this yajna, Agnihotra, and Prabhupada was putting ghee in the fire, and they were throwing seeds in the fire. When Prabhupada gave them their names and gave them their beads, in front of everybody, he told them, and this Brahmananda, he's a big, big man. How many of you have seen Brahmananda Prabhu? He's very big. He was a school teacher, grown man, probably about 350 pounds. And Gargamuni is like that also. And their mother's just a little old lady sitting on a chair in the side of corner of the room. Prabhupada would not give them initiation until they went and bowed their heads at the feet of their mother and took the dust of her feet. Hare Krishna. This is culture. So they went and bowed down before the mother, and the mother was saying, "What are you doing?" Maybe they dropped something in the floor. Because in America, nobody bows down to anyone. Everyone is a self-made woman or a self-made man. I bow before no one. That is the pride. And one time, Brahmananda went to visit his mother at her house. And he rang the doorbell. And she answered the door. And she was looking around like, what is this? Somebody rang the doorbell. There's nobody here. Then she saw her son on the ground, up bowing down. She said, get up before the neighbors see you. But to receive blessings is a very, very noble form of humility. And we should have faith in blessings of saintly persons and the faith in blessings of superiors and people who love us. And I don't know if any of you know why you have come, but we have all come to offer our blessings to Rajiv and Rupali, because they are soon to be getting married. And Urvi Mataji and Ajay Prabhu and Lalita Sakhi Mataji, this family is setting such a nice example. They're having quite an elaborate marriage in Jaipur, but to inaugurate the whole process of events, they first wanted a spiritual satsang. Is this correct interpretation? Yes. Because they love their children. And they want their children to have the best. And priorities are important. First things first. And the blessings of God, the blessings of the devotees, the blessings of real well-wishers are the essential foundation for a fruitful, successful, and spiritually prosperous relationship. So we are very, very grateful for this nice example and this nice opportunity. And really, people of India and people of the world have much to learn from this example. That real love for another is to do what brings the blessings of God, the blessings of Krishna upon them. Where the holy name of Krishna is chanted, where sincere devotees take satisfaction in your service, you could know that Krishna's blessings are showering down upon that place. We pray that your wonderful marriage brings about true happiness and true fulfillment in the ultimate goal of life. Please do not forget that. In the world, there are many distractions, there are many responsibilities and many duties. But the responsibility of the soul, the ultimate duty of the soul, is to live together and help one another, to love God and to serve God. and to share that love in whatever possible way with others. So I request all of the devotees present and relatives and everyone else to invoke the blessings of Radha Gopinath by loudly chanting Hari Bol. You are blessed. Thank you very much.